Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Road to Recovery. This is a special broadcast simply because I am not in the office. I am broadcasting from a remote location in Princeton, Illinois, actually in near the town of Putnam, and in a lake, what would you call it, a resort area called Lake Thunderbird. My lovely Miss Martha has a second home out here, and we are out enjoying the holiday, the New Year's holiday coming. And, well, unfortunately, I don't have any Wi-Fi service out here. So I have a phone, and I can talk, but I cannot take any calls, and I can't do anything. So you're going to get to hear me. And Martha, the lovely Miss Martha, is joining me. Say hello, Martha.
Hello.
Okay, and she's going to join me for the next whatever period of time we decide to chat until we run out of steam or the show is over. How's that? Tonight is December 30th, we are moments away from 2019, actually 24 hours or so, and the start of a new year. So I would like to wish everybody a belated Merry Christmas, regardless if you are Catholic or Christian. We hope you enjoyed the holidays that we just passed through. And we hope that the new year will bring you just wonderful things, just wonderful things. We hope that things get better in our country, in the world. And but you know what? It doesn't matter, because as long as we are sober and working our program in recovery, it really doesn't matter what goes on around us. And I learned that because, well, me, I am a recovering alcoholic, and tonight is 23 years and 4 months. Did you know that today is 23 years and 4 months exactly today? Because it's the 30th, and I sobered up on the 30th of August. So it's 23 years and 4 months of continuous sobriety. Congratulations to me. Okay, so Martha, how about you? How long is the sobriety you have?
64 years.
No, you've been drinking. You drink.
Oh, right. But
okay, I'm sober, totally, alcohol-free period of time. You drink, but you're not you don't abuse the alcohol.
Yeah, once a month, I find out with the girls. All
right, we were out last weekend. Wasn't it last weekend?
Last
weekend we were downtown. And it's going to be kind of the crux or the idea for the show tonight a little bit more. So unfortunately, you won't be able to call in and comment or ask questions. You can send emails or texts. If you want to text to me, you can text me at 630-918-6129. Because I will not take a phone call during the show, but that is my cell phone number anyway, and that's where I'm calling in from. I'm calling the studio directly. So, again, Happy New Year wishes to you coming up. But you know what? It's just another day in paradise for me. It's just another day of being sober and living, you know, a life that really gets better and better. And I'm so grateful for it. And again, one of the promises for me is this young lady right next to me, the lovely Miss Martha, and whom I love. And I was fortunate enough to meet about 2.5 years ago. And we are going to get married next May 11th. Plans are on the way. And are you excited?
Starting to hit me. There's a lot that we need to get organized about.
Okay, well, Martha is a very, very organized person, and she likes to have everything done just right. And you know what? That's kind of funny, because I, on the other hand, fly by the seat of my pants. Mm-hmm. And while I get things done, I probably could get them done better if I did some planning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree with that statement.
Okay, and you don't have any real issues at all. I don't think you over get nuts, but I'll tell you what, this last week was just, it pushed my limit for being around people, okay? Really did. Okay, we had the kids in, your three daughters, your son-in-law, and the two grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that wasn't enough fun, then we expanded it to include your extended family. And so you had a, did we ever count how many people?
29,
came?
I believe.
29 people come for, and Martha made soup, homemade soup, split pea soup, cream corn soup,
corn chowder,
and what else was
chili.
And chili. And I got to say, I still, did you tell Christy I thought the chili was very good?
No, wait,
oh, I told her, but not, I didn't rave over it, but it was pretty darn good. Yes, it was very good. So,
did you know it had turkey in it?
No, it didn't matter, really. No, it was tasty, and it had a spicy kick to it. Yeah, so you can switch out meats with me sometimes. Okay, you can't. We just had a delightful dinner of steak. Okay, which I cooked, and it was. I lucked out. Okay, I'm not going to tell you that I did. You know, flying by the seat of my pants. It came out perfectly cooked on the outside with a tender red meat. Center, and I know you like it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Martha likes that.
Oh, you're raw.
Yeah, she'll eat it raw, tartare. Okay, mm-hmm. But not me. I have to have a little cook in it. But great meal we had before this show. I was just finishing it up, actually. And, so we're going to be on the air. We're supposed to be on the air from 7 to 9 p.m. Hopefully we will get a bunch of it done. And if we're having a good time and we feel like we're carrying a message, then we'll stay longer. You know, sometimes I think sometimes God helps me to run out of things to say so that I basically just shut up, okay? And that's what they say at the meetings. You know, you go to a 12-step meeting, an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, which I do follow a program in recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I go to the meetings and they tell me, you know, talk, because everybody takes a turn talking. What happens is, this: how are meetings? We'll talk a little bit about meetings, but everybody's encouraged to have a voice and to talk about whatever topic is affecting their sobriety at that particular time of their life, that day, that minute, that hour, whatever it is. You can talk about whatever. You can have a topic and change the topic just because you have to get what you need from the meeting. But what happens is when you speak, everybody usually and should shut up and let you talk and say whatever you need it is to say. But when you run out of things to say, don't start making stuff up. Just shut up, okay? And we don't do that here on the show. We make up stuff. We got 2 hours, okay, usually. And, you know, if you're paying attention, if you're being – following the show every week, we have been playing music. We usually play an intro music, Mia Keen, You Are Not Alone, just to remind everybody that you aren't alone, only if you choose to be alone. And alcoholism and drug abuse and things like that, those are diseases of the I, self, and me by going off on our own and doing too much thinking. Yeah, I don't have a drinking problem anymore. I have a thinking problem, and my best me drinking. So when I quit drinking and started working a program recovery, then I started to address my stinking thinking, the thinking that, got me all frustrated, confused, aggravated, whatever it was, and also got me thinking that to make it better, I should drink. And calm myself down. And that was a mentality I had a long time ago. Martha, do you ever get frustrated in life?
Absolutely.
Well, certainly I never frustrate you, right?
No, never.
Never, okay.
No.
But when you get frustrated, what do you usually do or think about or whatever? Do you have something to do or just what is that?
Take a deep breath and...
It doesn't impact you. You just move on. Yes? No?
Yeah. I mean, chocolate helps sometimes.
Through chocolate? Okay.
But
milk chocolate, not
dark chocolate.
Okay. Martha's got her breath.
No, I just think it through.
Okay. Okay. Well, you think. And see, that's the thing that we do. But unfortunately, when I thought it through back before I got into the program, I thought, how I was being cheated, how I was being abused, how I was a victim, basically, and that my options were to have a drink, that I deserved to go out and get bamboozled, you know, drunk, basically. And that's what I would do. I would spend the week working up a good buzz for the weekend. At the end, oh, there was more than one day a week. There were several days a week. I didn't get to the point where I was drinking every day, but I was thinking about drinking every day. And we often say that our bottoms can get lower than we can get, because until we're dead, we can go to some pretty bottoms, some pretty lows. So some people say, well, I hit my bottom. Well, you know what? You hit a bottom that maybe you decided was enough, but until you're dead, that's the bottom of the bottom, okay? Unfortunately, we hope that you never get to that point, that you wake up and become aware well before then. By the way, I picked up a new sponsee this week, but unfortunately, I have not heard from him today. He and I connected probably, was it Friday night? So Friday, Saturday, and I called him Saturday. No, Thursday. I think it was Thursday night. When did you leave?
Yeah.
Thursday night. It was Thursday. And Friday he called me, and then Saturday he didn't call me. And I called him and said, hey, what's up? And he was doing fine. He just, you know, getting into the habit of calling somebody, because being isolated, it's a real easy thing to do. You can justify it in any way, shape, or form. And the ism, ISM, at alcoholism, is a reminder to me of the I, self, and me that I need to get away from, because I need to be around people when I get into some stinking thinking. But the good news is that I don't get that stinking thinking that much anymore. And like yourself, I can think something through better today than I did before. And, you know, but for new people coming in the program, again, we have a lot of bad habits, okay? We need to address them. We need to work them, change them, and make better habits, right? And so, and that's good that you don't have that problem. But last weekend, okay, what we were talking about. And again, folks, I'm sorry that you don't have the luxury of calling in to the show, but you can text me again. My text number is 630-918-6129. And, oh, there we go. We got a couple people. Okay. This is, unfortunately, this is work-related. Okay, but thank you. Okay, it works. The text works. So, okay, won't interrupt us during the show. But we just, you know, we were talking about what some of the things, and actually, I don't know. We were talking, I know that I thought our show this week, when I was planning it last weekend, I thought maybe what we would do is, you know, be grateful and talk about some of the pluses and the minuses that we've had during the year. And I got to tell you, I've had a whole bunch of them, including and most especially the lovely Miss Martha agreeing to marry me. And I want to marry her. And it's not like I'm hesitant about marrying her, okay? Because for those of you who know, I was married 3 times before, okay, before I sobered up. Once when I was 19, my significant other at that time, my girlfriend actually, who was 16, got pregnant, okay? And I was 18, and she was 16, and she got pregnant, and then I turned 19, and then she gave birth. And yeah, and then I turned 20 after my daughter was born, 20 before my daughter was born. So, and my significant other who became my wife, the first one was night, she turned 17. She was 17, pretty young. The second marriage that I got, and so I guess what I'm saying is that we really didn't know who we were individually, let alone each other. I don't know that it's a good idea to get married at that young of age. I've known people to do it and to stay married. Good for them. It wasn't good for me, okay, or my significant other. But I have 2 daughters out of that relationship, out of that marriage, Jessica and Natalie, who live on the West Coast, and I love them dearly. And they have the oldest one has a son who just turned 6. His name is Zachary. So hello, Zach, if you're listening. Hello, Jessica. I don't know that Justin, her husband, would be listening, but sometimes my daughters will. And then Natalie and George gave birth to twins, little George and Serafina. So they're in California too, and we've yet to meet them in person, right, Martha and I, and they're over a year old. So we haven't been to that part of California in over a year. But we've been everywhere this year. It's been a great year. We've had a lot of good things happening and, just a lot of excitement and work-related and personal lives. And I've expanded my interest and rekindled a hobby of aquarium fish. I love tropical fish. And for some of you who don't know, I used to be big in wholesaling and importing tropical fish and birds from all over the country when I was 19, one of the jobs I had, 1920. So I learned a lot through that, and what a fascinating world. But it's sad that not a lot of people are into aquariums today. In fact, yesterday, I stopped at a Walmart near our home and noticed that Walmart had a tropical fish in a pet section, but the fish tanks were all empty. So, of course, my alcoholic mind said, hey, look, maybe they'll sell me their equipment really cheap. And the lovely Miss Martha's going, oh, no, what are you going to do with them? I don't know. Well, I bought a whole setup one time, plexiglass. And unfortunately, it didn't work out what I had thought I was going to set it up, because I was going to set it up in my home at that time. This is about, 2001, over 15 years ago, and I had a fire. So I never reset the aquarium equipment up. I don't even know whatever happened to that stuff. You know, some of that stuff just mysteriously, no, survived the fire. It just didn't survive moving all the places and, you know, the people in my life that helped me move it, you know, but whatever. I have been sober now for 23 years and 4 months again, which is a great accomplishment in my book. But there was, we replaced one addiction with another. My new addiction is, we got all kinds of them. Aquarium stuff and collecting mugs and collecting stuff, hoarding. There's something to that, a little hoarding, okay? But, I'm not that type yet, although if you look in one building, it looks like it would make a good television show because it's just packed in there, no place to walk. Oh, gosh. I need to get in there and straighten that out.
Mm-hmm. And sell some of it on Craigslist.
Yeah, and sell some of the stuff on Craigslist. Maybe some of the audience here would like some of my stuff. Who knows? Never know. But, I did. I picked up another aquarium this week, and I got one more to pick up. And then I'll stop for a while. I will stop. No, I won't put it in writing, but don't hold me to it. But I will do my best to stop. Okay. I'm going to set up two more aquariums. Unfortunately, the lovely Miss Martha won't let me keep them at home, which would be great. Okay, but three. But one's a 55-gallon, the other are 10. One's a 10 and one's maybe a 20. No, I think 15 maybe, because it's on its side. So that's not very big. So these other ones, one's a 70 and one's a 80 gallon.
Okay, too big.
Those will be perfect, but they're going into the office. It's fine. Okay, I might have to stay late and play with my fish. They need love too. And while you with Mars is going, bye. Just come home. Okay, well, what a different world as compared to life before. And I'm telling you, it's great. It's a good life. I have a good life. I have an excellent life now. I'm, financially, I'm not great. I'm not wealthy, but I'm not poor. But I feel wealthy because of the lifestyle that I live. I have, again, to have somebody very special like Martha in your life is probably the best of everything. And then other things, I have so many good friends, and when I first sobered up, I didn't know the difference between friends and acquaintances. I've learned a lot since I sobered up. I used to call everybody my friend and then realize that these friends of mine were taking advantage of me and using and abusing me, and I was letting them because I thought that because they're my friend, they could do whatever they really need to. Friends don't do that to other people. So when I got it into my mind, the difference, excuse me, live shows and a long show and a long day running around. I got my little meter counter. What did I log in? Okay, here's my meter count. I had 6,500 steps, which I'm told I'm supposed to have like 10,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 2.9 miles. So we were perusing and carousing some antique stores, spending more money that I didn't need to really spend, but I bought some really cool stuff. I love my stuff. It's very cool. Very cool stuff. Okay? Okay, so we're going to talk about what happened last weekend when we went out to dinner with you, with the lovely Miss Martha, her three daughters, which are, they're all in their 30s, probably 35, 39, and, yeah, they're up there, and son-in-law and two grandchildren. Now, I got to tell you something, and I'm just being real candid honest, these grandchildren, they don't know what a boundary is, period, okay? And they are allowed to do just about whatever they want. They're great kids. Don't get me wrong. They are very kids. I really adore them. I go out of my seat when they don't have boundaries and I want to set boundaries. And their parents and their grandmother go, oh, isn't that sweet, lovely, and wonderful? Nope.
Give me an example.
No, that's all right. No, that's okay. You know, and it might just be in my head. So
I think it's in your head.
Okay, you think it's in my head. Okay, that's all right. Well, whatever. So we went out to dinner, and we were at a restaurant downtown Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you guys know wine like unbelievable. They know the difference between sweet wines and dry wines and red wines and white wines, you know, I know the difference between pop, okay, diet pop and regular pop and Coke and Pepsi and, you know, stuff like that. You guys know what I want. And you are connoisseurs. I would say, well,
yeah,
more or less, you know what you like. Okay, even a couple craft beers, you guys. So the waiter went and took all your orders, and you guys placed all your orders, you know, what you wanted. And then he came to me and he said, sir, what can I get for you? And I said, well, what do you have in the way of soft drinks? And he says, soft drinks? Okay. And so he goes, well, we have Coke products and nothing personal, but I'm not a Coke product person. If I can have Pepsi products, ding, 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 ding. Okay. I would prefer Pepsi products. Okay. But he said, well, we have root beer. And so I said, okay, I'll have root beer. I'll have that. I'll have beer, root beer. And he goes, oh, now, he must have misunderstood me because he said to me, what kind of root beer, or no, what kind would you like? We have, and he started identifying beer.
Craft beers, yeah.
Craft beers. And I said to him, no, I want root beer. I didn't know that there's more than one kind. And he goes, oh, no, okay. Well, you realize that they come in bottles and you don't get refilled. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. So he went away and said, okay, went take your order. And sitting across from me was Martha's oldest daughter. And she said to me, well, what would have happened? I said, what do you mean, what would have happened? She goes, well, if he brought you the beer. And I go, oh, I probably would have just said, hey, you brought the wrong order. Could you get the right order? She goes, well, what should we do? And I said,
I think her question was, what should we do if you
right.
purposely ordered a beer?
Oh, if I ordered a beer or had a beer.
Right.
And my response to her was,
let it be. It
yeah, nothing. There's nothing you could do. It's not your business. It's my business whether I drink or don't drink. Now, your business can be how you respond to me drinking or not drinking for yourself, but to interact with me and to stop me or attempt. Her thought was, should we stop you? Should
yeah,
we
should
keep
we
you,
or,
you know, keep
yeah.
you from drinking this alcohol? And I said, it's going to happen if I drink a beer right now. And she said, well, you go goofy, get a little crazy, you know, act weird. And I said, no, probably not. I said, but something worse. And she said, something worse? And what do you think I told her?
That you would then think you could have another beer.
Well, I said, nothing would happen. That would be the worst thing that would happen. If nothing happened when I drank, that would be the worst thing. Because then I would think that maybe since nothing happened, I could probably have another beer and another one. And it may not happen right away, but it may. But maybe it would take a month. Maybe it would take a year. Maybe it would, you know, maybe it never happen. But that's like playing Russian roulette, okay? That's like playing Russian roulette with potentially at least one bullet in a six-chamber gun, but it could be as many as five bullets in a chamber, maybe even six in a six-chamber gun. I don't want to take that risk myself personally. So I have to think this out and think about what a drink may do, may cost me. Do I want to pay that price again? Now, early in my sobriety, my sponsor, Bobby K, who, happy anniversary, Bobby K, we golfed actually one time when there was snow on the ground and the sun came out and it turned 50 and we went out golfing on New Year's Day. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We haven't had that much snow lately, so, you know, we probably should golf anyway. But Bobby K lives in Southern Illinois now, and I haven't seen him in a while. I do catch up with him once in a while on Facebook or something like that, or other friends who share with each other. But Bobby K at that time, okay, you know, taught me a lot of good things. And I tell you what, they are the basis of my development in recovery. And I'm always going to be grateful, Bobby K, for all the lessons that he taught me during that. He was my sponsor for like 12 years, great, great period of time. And in 12 years, I probably talked to him, probably about 75% of the days. So, you know, if you took all the days in 12 years and put them together, I probably missed maybe, 30% of the time, if that much. Otherwise, I talked to him pretty regularly. He became a friend. And not only that, and a confidant. But, yes, Bobby K taught me a lot of things. And one of the things he taught me was to think the drink through. Always to drink, think the drink through. Was I willing to pay the price? He used to call it the party tax. Just imagine you go to a grocery store and you buy groceries and you buy a $5 worth of fruit and vegetables. And then your bill is what? $5.75. And that's because there's taxes that you have to pay for buying those groceries. Well, Bobby K reminded me and pointed out to me in the beginning that I will pay a tax for every time I drink. And for all the times that I drank before I even sobered up, I still had to pay what was called the party tax for that. And how it affected me was horrible. It was some really big taxes. And they're not real taxes to the government, but they're a consequence for my actions. And that's really scary. If you want to, I had two DUIs. Not that I'm proud of it, but I had two driving under the influence. Once in 1991, and once in 1993. And the one in 1991, when I first got that one, I was involved with a woman named Diana, who just was totally embarrassed and totally ashamed of me. You know, and, you know, just, oh, please don't, you know, just don't let anybody know that you know me. I'm like, really? Okay. You know, fine. And, it was, I was very ashamed of it. Okay. But the funny part is the people that I hung around with were all laughing and going, oh, man, everybody should get a DUI. I know so many times people drive and under the influences. And we made very light of it. And I didn't really give it that much credence. The consequence, while there were consequences, one of them was I couldn't drive for 3 months, okay, even though I was not supposed to. I was under a mandatory 90-day suspension of my license, which the state didn't suspend, but I was, if I would have got caught during that time and they found out that I was driving when I shouldn't have been, I could have, lost my driving privileges or gone to jail during that time. But nothing happened. I didn't drive. I drove carefully. I didn't drive and drink anymore during that period of time. It kind of was a little slap in the face, a little wake-up call, but one which we made light of. And then when I got around my friends, everybody was kind of making jokes of. And it didn't, it just didn't have the impact by the end of the period. It just didn't have the impact that it could have or should have. And so I downplayed it. In 1993, when I got my second DUI, that was a terrible time, okay, because my father died in 1992, and he never saw me sober. He never saw me sober. And I knew him to be sober at the end of his life. He died when he was around 64, I think, and his health was really bad at that time when he died. He was struggling to stay alive, and he had not drank in maybe 2 years from what I understood. Now, I don't know if that was 100%, but for the most part, he didn't drink like he did before that because his health was really in very bad shape. And so I saw him relatively sober, but he was so caught up in his alcoholism without alcohol. He didn't go to meetings. He didn't quit by going to meetings. He just quit because the doctor told him, and my mom was riding him, Len, you can't drink, and Len, you can't drink. That's my dad's name, Leonard. And so he had a lot of resentments and a lot of anger and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of things that he locked within himself. And I think those added to his predicting his death, actually. You can't keep all that stuff and not affect you physically. And so when I got my second driving under the influence, oh, my gosh, my life changed big time because I lost my driving privileges for almost 2 years, 20 months. I could not drive. And it was only supposed to be 1 year, but when you completed the year, when I completed the year, the state said, well, no, now you have to earn your privileges back. You can't just get them back. You have to earn them back. You have to go in front of a hearing board and request. So I had to go in front of a hearing board to ask if they would give me my driving privileges back. And that was tough because they didn't want to give me my driving privileges back. But again, I focused and I realized, during that time, I mentioned I went through 3 failed marriages. And my third one was the one that really turned my life upside down. It was the one that really bothered me probably the most. Not the other ones didn't. They did bother me. But this one, she was just a delightful person, a lot of fun, and maybe just, appealed to my sick and, mentally whatever, challenged part, and we had a great time, and it was all wrong. I knew it was wrong. We shouldn't get together because when I met her, she was married. I didn't know she was happily married, supposedly, but she had just started drinking again about 2 weeks before I met her, okay? She had been sober for 5 years and had her life going pretty well. She had a very big history of alcoholism as well, Okay, so when I met her, she was drinking, and I didn't think anything of it because I didn't think anything of my drinking. And then we got together, and boy, I tell you, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. I mean, it was when the when it was bad, it was really horrible. I mean, really horrible. There was craziness beyond whatever. That's just not normal crazy. And when it was good, well, it wasn't like, you know, better than I've got now, but it was good. It was fun. We had a lot of fun. And but we didn't face our responsibilities. And so when we were getting divorced, which was the right thing to do, it was the right thing to do, I had a hard time letting go, as I did the whole time. And another text come in. Okay, thank you. Happy New Year's to you too, by the way. For anybody listening, Happy New Year, okay? And hope you can continue to listen. At least we should be on at least for about a half hour more. Maybe we'll end it at 8 o'clock call or early evening. How's that? It's okay with you? The lovely Miss Marcus, okay with it. Well, you know, we just don't want to disappear off the screen, you know, because we've been doing the show now just over 6 years. We're 6.5 years. I'm coming in May will be 7 years, completing 7 years. So, you know, we feel we have a message to carry for those of you that need it. And the reason why we do the show is to give you some idea that good people, alcoholics and drug addicts, aren't throwaway people. They're good people that made mistakes, that got caught up in a thinking problem and didn't know how to escape from it. And I'm telling you, I'm coming to you to bring this meeting to you, this show, to let you know that there is hope and help if you really want it. If you are suffering from a disease of drugs or alcohol or any addiction, gambling, pornography, sex, maybe it's food, eating, bulimia, anorexia, maybe you're caught up in prescription meds or heroin, you know, you can overcome your addiction, but, you know, it takes effort. It takes a commitment. You have to want to do it, okay? You just don't have to do it alone. That's the only thing. You don't have to do it alone. And as I tell everybody that asks me, the one thing that I have to perfectly do every day, and you know what that is, Martha? The one thing I have to be perfect in doing?
Not drinking.
Not drinking. Correct. Very good. Not to drink. If you don't drink, if I don't drink, I have hope that the next day I'll get through this day and there'll be enough next day. But if I drink, my self-will goes out the door, my stinking comes back. Who knows what'll happen? I just don't want to find out. Okay, I really don't want to find out. And so that's why I'm not going to play Russian roulette with anything, period. Okay? The cool thing is I've not have to worry about getting DUIs. I don't have to worry about being embarrassed in front of other people because of my drinking. Now, on the other hand, I have a very active mouth and
yeah.
Sometimes it does get me in trouble. Okay, it does, but not the elongated trouble that my drinking mouth did. So there's hope there. But again, we started this when Martha's oldest daughter had asked me what to do, and I told her nothing. There's nothing that she can do for me to get me to stop, because you can carry the message, but you cannot carry the drug addict or the alcoholic. And you know what that means, Martha?
It's up to them to straighten themselves out.
That's it. If you were suffering from a disease of alcoholism or drug abuse, and I watched over you and constantly was vigilant to make sure you didn't drink or drug, the problem comes in, and you might not because I'm ever vigilant, but the problem comes in if I'm not there one time, and you do it.
I have no self-control because you've been my control.
That's right. I'm not there. It's not my job to take care of somebody else. My job is to take care of me. Now, there's a program called Al-Anon. And Al-Anon is actually patterned after Alcoholics Anonymous. Did you know that?
It makes sense.
Yeah. It's a program designed to educate people of what alcohol and drug abuse is and how to react and respond to the loved one or the person you're working with that has this disease so that you can continue to have a good life. And you know what the program should teach you if you're really paying attention, by the way? It should teach you to take care of yourself, not worry about the alcoholic or the drug addict. If you have to push them away, that's the tough part of this program in recovery for both you and for the user, okay? Because if they're impacting your life, it's like pulling somebody in your life boat, your boat. They were drowning, and you pull them in the boat, and they stand up, and they're potentially causing the boat to rock and potentially flip over and sink. Would you want that to happen? Of course not. Nobody would. Nobody would want that to happen. You just rescued them. You want to rescue them. It's like somebody drowning in the water. If you ever took lifeguard, because a lot of us took lifeguard lessons. Did you ever take lifeguard lessons?
No, but I know you're not supposed to get in the water.
Well, you can. No, that's not true. You can go in. Yeah. If you go after somebody who is drowning, okay, and you feel you're a good swimmer, unless they surrender, if they don't surrender, if they fight you, if they try to, they'll drag you under. They could potentially drown you if they don't surrender. So if they don't surrender, then you have to let them go. And they may drown or they may stop fighting. And then you could rescue them if there's potential for rescuing them anymore. That's the whole point, is you have to take care of yourself. You have to work a selfish program. What happens to the person that has the problem, it's their problem. Let them have it. And again, what other help can you have for them? Well, you can pray for them. That's a good thing. Sometimes, I don't know, and you really have to think hard about this, but you might lend some help to them. But really, they have to help themselves. And if they don't help themselves, it's nothing you can do that really can correct them, straighten them out. I knew literally husbands and wives who went after to save their kids from drugs mostly, that when they saved them, they were being abused by the kids when they brought them into their own home. And the kids were abusing them because their minds were still messed up. Sometimes the best thing to do is to leave the homeless out in the streets until they either get tired of it or they make it their way of life. Again, the tough part is that we're taught that blood relatives are blood relatives and you should do whatever you can for them. But this disease of alcoholism and drug abuse is really a disease. And it doesn't know any boundaries. It doesn't know, actually, the ones that love the alcoholic and the drug addict are usually the ones that suffer the most at the hands of these, because they have some great need to want to extend themselves beyond what they should and find out they're at the losing end of something oftentimes. So, again, as my sponsor, Bobby King, used to always say, do whatever it takes to protect your sobriety. See, sober is not drinking and drugging every day, but sobriety is the quality of life that we live sober, okay? And the same thing with you, Martha, okay? The quality of life that you live, okay? If I was impeding that life, as much as you cared about me and it was impeding your life, you might rethink something and say, hey, you know, I got to draw some boundaries here and lines and things so that it doesn't totally disrupt who you are and what you want it to be. Got it? Right. Are we?
Don't worry.
Do not listen to the man on the phone. Well, no more Graves in the home for the time being. We'll talk about that. There's two people in decisions, so that's what. Okay. But again,
but
we're talking about total chaos. We're talking about total chaos. We're not talking about for you.
No, but we are having a civil conversation and a pleasant conversation, and we don't fly off the handle at each other, and that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yes. That's one thing that I've always enjoyed with you. I've been frustrated with you many times, but I've never felt the real need to fly off the handle and get upset. I remember the one time when we first started seeing each other, I was all set too. It was the stupidest thing in the world. Remember what it was? It was a bottle of water. You know? Now, I drink a lot of water. Okay? I really do. And, you know, it's just what I replaced. I've always drank a lot, even when I drink alcohol, but I drink just as much. I just don't drink alcohol. So when I came to your house in the beginning, I used to, well, there's bottled water is what I'm used to drinking, and then you have tap water.
Mm-hmm, which is perfectly fine.
It's perfectly fine, okay. But I prefer bottled water, and I acquired a taste for a certain bottled water. So I would bring bottled water to your house, and I had bottled water in your house. And one weekend, you had your girlfriends over, and when I came back over, there was no water left. And I said, really?
And I believe you had said that it was okay if people drink water.
Well, whether I did or I didn't, okay. Whether I did or I didn't, okay. Didn't think about it. All I just know that there was no water there, and I was in a panic because I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to drink? And I started to get upset going, you know, you think you could. And then I'm like, I stopped myself. You didn't stop, and you didn't hear nothing. I stopped myself going, are you really going to get nuts over a bottle of water? Really? Dan, think about this. Are you really going to get nuts about a bottle? No. It's a bottle of water. Drink some water from the thing or get some. So now, what do we have? We have cases of water laying around. Cases of water. Anybody can have all the water they want. I don't care. Even if they drank all the cases of water, fine. That's okay. I'm just not going to get nutty over water. You don't get nutty over very much.
Mm-hmm.
You did get nutty over cookies. Christmas cookies. But we talked about that last week. Okay. We talked about it last week on the show. We talked about it.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. And I was wrong because I understand it's a very important thing for you. And Martha is a wonderful cook and baker. And we were out here 2 weekends ago and making cookies, along with other things we did. And I was actually pacing myself and said, I won't eat that many cookies now because I didn't want to affect my type 2 diabetes. So I said, well, I'll have some later. So when we got home the next day, I said, well, okay, later is now. I would like some of those cookies. And you go, oh, well, they're put away. And I go, well, let's get them out. And you're like, well, no, they're packed away. And I go, where? And you said, in the freezer. And I said, well, what for? He said, for the holiday. And I go, the holiday? I thought I was going to have some of those. Well, no, I put them away already. So, and I'm like, really? And before I could do anything, then I looked in the counter and there was a tin. And the tin, I said, well, what's in that? And you said, that's peanut brittle. And I said, well, that's okay. Can I have some? And you go, yeah, go ahead and have a piece. You said, have a piece. Okay, so I had one and it was delicious. And I even said, it was delicious. This is really good. And you said, yeah, your friend made it. She did a really good job. So I reached over. You had your back to me, and I had my back to you. And I reached over in the drawer, pulled out a plastic baggie, and started loading up with some of this stuff to take to the office so I could do the show with peanut brittle. And you went, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting some peanut brittle to go. And you're like, oh, no, you're not. And I'm like, oh, yes, I am. You took away my cookies. And I saw blood in your eyes. I saw rage. It was like, holy crapola. So I drove all the way to the office. I didn't put them back. I took them. I left, and you were really pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I took them with me, and I ate them all the way to the office. By the office, time I got to the office, the peanut brittle I had was already eaten. And then I started feeling guilty and thinking, you know, Martha is really into her holidays and cookies, and she's really bothered. I've never seen her like that. And I said, I probably owe her an amend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't I call you an
amend?
I called you up, and I apologized. And I said, now I realize, okay. So we made a compromise, and I won't do that again.
I will warn you or leave you a note that you may have two cookies.
Or something, yes. And I will get my own cookies so that if I'm going to ravage something, I will ravage other than your holiday cookies, which though all the way, you know, are for guests, but as soon as anybody else comes in, they can have them. I'm no longer on that list.
Whatever didn't get finished is over at the
house. It's too late now. I wanted them then. Listen, if this is the worst thing that we've had, it's nothing. I enjoy living with you. I enjoy being with you and your company. And I know that, you know, I've got to look at myself and constantly work at improving who I am. Not going to change you. I'm not looking to change you. I hope you don't look to change me, but I will get with the program in the sense that I want to be a good spouse to you. I want to be a good mate to you, and as I believe you are for me. That's a big difference than I am today as compared to what I was back then. So, yes, this program really does work if you work it. And hopefully you're listening and you're paying attention and maybe you're getting some ideas that maybe there's nothing wrong with encouraging loved ones to go to meetings. What did I tell you? There was a time I told you I really needed a meeting.
Yeah.
And you said, maybe you should go to a meeting. I do. I needed to go to a bunch of meetings. One was to pick up a sponsee to remind me that maybe just go back to the basics, which is good, and to let people know that after 23 years, I still need to go to meetings, still have a thinking problem. I don't have a drinking problem. I have a thinking problem. And my thinking problem can make mountains out of molehills when I should really not sweat the small stuff. And
It's all small stuff.
It's not really that big. Nothing's that big. Life and death, that's big. But I do believe in an afterlife. I do believe in a God. I believe in Jesus. And I believe that after this life, there will be another life. So I'm not really bothered at this point much by it. I say at this point because I don't really know what tomorrow is going to bring. If it was on deathbed, would I be freaking? Maybe. I don't know. Hopefully I won't. But I'm not now. So don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff. So if you're going to start the year out right, first and foremost, the best thing you can do for yourself is to not drink. First of all, we say don't think, don't drink, go to a meeting. That's the first thing I told my sponsees. Don't think, don't drink, go to a meeting. The reason is because being an alcoholic, I cannot help but to have a thought of drinking. I do. I have occasional thoughts of drinking and maybe smoking dope or something. But I stop that thinking and say, no, I don't want to go there. That's not good thinking. So I don't drink, I don't drug, and I'll go to a meeting or talk to somebody about it and call somebody so that I get out of that mental state of mind where I don't keep thinking about it to the point. Here's a great example. A friend of mine who was in the program, had been sober for many years, maybe 5 or 6 years, went to a campfire where somebody lit a fire. They were doing a, you know, bonfire. And he sat down and they started passing a joint around and a bottle, okay? And every time the joint and the bottle came to him because he was in the line, he'd take it and pass it to the next guy, okay? After the fourth time it went around, he finally said, oh, well, what the heck, and started back drinking and drugging right that night to the point where he, I don't know, got a DUI or something. He got, you know, the consequences got greater. You got to stay out of the line of fire, okay? Don't try to be Superman and impenetrable because we're human beings. We can break down. We can have a bad moment. We can be caught up in something. The best thing is to leave the situation. He should have left the campfire. He should have said, hey, this isn't a good place for me to be. If you guys are going to do all that drinking and drugging, it's not a good place. I had no problem with you guys because you guys don't taunt me with and say, here, you know. And it's not like anybody abuses it with you guys. You guys drink it responsibly. You enjoy it, and it's part of your meal, whatever you're doing, your social, and we're on, moving on. I can handle that. It doesn't affect me. If it did affect me, I'd probably have to take a walk, okay? We went to the wedding. I don't remember. I know there was a few people drink a little bit more, but I didn't see anybody really getting sloppy like I remember being sloppy. But that didn't bother me either at all because there was so much other good things going on that I just focused with that and spent my time doing other things. So, you know, it's a great feeling to have that I have. To be sober today, and it's a good thing to do is to make a gratitude list of all the things that I have. And again, that's what I thought we would do for the coming new year, is to make a gratitude list. Take a moment and write down all the things that you're grateful for. And sometimes we take those for granted. We don't even realize all the things. It's like when we sat down tonight, we set the clock for 5 minutes for the stove to go. And I sat down and I go, man, that was the fastest 5 minutes. It goes by. Life goes by. Everything goes by so fast that we fail to, you know, stop and smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
And we should. And we should recognize. So the top of my list is I'm grateful to be sober. And the second greatest thing is that, Martha, you're in my life. Thank you. And that you love me. And it's nice to be loved by someone like you. It's nice to be able to love someone and have it in return. And my life was, oh, gosh, so many memories, so many different memories. I was blessed with a good memory. And, excuse me. And we're going to wrap this up in about 5 minutes, I think. Let's see here. It is, oh, 3 minutes. 3 minutes to eight. We are going to end the show at 8 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, just simply because, it's the New Year weekend. I'm not at the office. And, I don't have a chance to have people call in and, you know, join me, et cetera. So we'll just do this. We'll end it at 8 o'clock and wish everybody a happy New Year. And just let you know that we'll be back on the air next week from 7. And we'll try to go to 9 o'clock. And we'll try to have a guest. We have talked to many people that would like to be part of the show. It's just getting them to do it. Is always a bit of a challenge, but the show airs every Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. live here on Blog Talk Radio. We're part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. It's kind of a self-help program put together by a man named Fred McMurray, who is not the famous Fred McMurray, but famous in his own right. And, you can catch it, and you can get the rebroadcast. You can go onto our website, and it will direct you to go to the archives if you want to listen to some of these shows that we've had in the past. We've had some great guests. I want to say hello to Angelia. Angelia Bianca. She's going to be our guest again sometime. She was a couple of weeks ago. Read her book. It's called In Deep. She wrote it, and it got published this year. I haven't read it yet. I haven't seen it. I'm going to try and make it a point to get it. I want to say a shout-out to Anna out in New York. Stay the course. Keep working at it. It's worth staying sober, Anna. You know that. You have had so many benefits. The problem that Anna found is that since she's been sober and working the program, she's been bored. And we should talk a little bit about service work. Maybe next week we could talk about service work. But service work to keep from being bored. Because when you get rid of the problem, and the problem is the alcohol and the drugs and the stinking thinking, there's a big abscess. Is that what they call it, abscess?
No, abscess is like a blister.
An abscess is a blister? Well, whatever. It's a big empty space.
A vacuum.
And you have to fill it with something. And service work is a great thing to do. I'm a Lion, a member of the Lions organization. Actually, I'm the president. And I think I've been a member now 14, 15 years or something. And it's not always been a cakewalk, but it's still service work, and I like doing it because it helps other people, and it keeps me focused and out of trouble. So find something to do. That's a great thing to fill your time with. Again, I always encourage people to reach out to someone who isolates themselves. Reach out to them and say hello and give them a hug. And it's funny how many men are hugging today. I'm hugging my clients, Gloria and her daughters and their boyfriends. And the guy, I go, I'll hug these guys if you like. And they go, yeah, we'll take a hug. And I'm these guys, big guys, 6 foot guys giving hugs. It's very cool. I gotta tell you, you know, I have a lot of hope for this world. And I have hope for you too, that you'll continue to have a good life if you work the program. If you stay sober and do the next right thing, you have a great chance of living a great life. And it does get better. It keeps getting better and better. If I told you I don't have problems, I'd be lying to you. But I don't have the kind of problems I had when I drank or drugged. And I tell you what, you won't either. And if you think it's bad, it'll always get better. Just remember that. It's always going to get better for you. Okay? Listen, we're going to wrap up the show. Any last words of wisdom or anything you want to say to anybody? Love you, Miss Martha. If they could see you now, they would understand why I fell in love with you. And you, I really believe God put you in my life. Okay? And I think we are very good for each other. I think that, too. It's not just that I'm fortunate to have you. I'd like to think that you are reasonably. Yeah. And yeah, and it's been wonderful. So hopefully we'll have a good life, continue to have a good life, and we want you to have a good week, unless you have other plans. Ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year. May it be a safe and memorable one, and may it be the start of today be the first day of the rest of your life following a program in recovery that works for you. Okay? Good night, and I'll talk to you next week. Okay? Take care.